Any moment now, many winters will come out from behind cover, and then stress will pick them off easy as squashing a bug on your hand. The white-haired Mescalero threw his arms wide, the coup stick flying high in the air, feathers whirling. The 7.62-millimeter rimmed bullet tore out the front of the warrior's throat, sending him kicking off the pony's back in a welter of tumbled blood.
Good shooting, General!
Fucking awful. Should have chewed the old man minutes ago. Mount up! Let's get after those bastards!
Mount up!
By the time they reached the flanks of the butte, Ryan and the others were a mile or more away from them. McLaughlin waited for the word from the general, but Strasser simply stood in the stirrups, shading his eyes against the lowering sun, watching the snaking pillar of orange dust.
General?
Yeah?
We're going to follow them.
The man turned, with a terrifying smile hooked on his thin lips.
Follow them? Of course we follow them, Sergeant. We follow Ryan Corder into the jaws of the grave.
It was a desperate scramble. The three surviving Mescalero warriors led the way, kicking their heels into the slats of their animals. JB struggled next, barely keeping them in sight through the weaving trails of the narrow canyons. Ryan and Man Whose Eyes See More rode together, falling behind, trying to keep alongside Jack, who was suffering once more from his injuries. Twice Ryan risked a glance over his shoulder, seeing that the swirling sign of the pursuer's dust was closing in fast. Now he cursed himself for not insisting that the boy went on with the others. They were still some distance from the hidden mouth of the Box Canyon, and the Sekhmen were drawing nearer. After what seemed an eternity, Ryan glimpsed the narrow opening to Drowned Squaw Canyon. The cavalry patrol was less than 300 yards behind them. The light was fading fast. Great banks of menacing purple chem clouds gathering all across the western horizon. The rancheria looked normal. Not far off, the 50 or so wikiups were scattered about the base of the half-mile-wide canyon. Cooking fires gleamed brightly, and there was the strong scent of chili stew cooking in the iron cauldrons. Ryan followed the ponies of the rest of his group, noticing the stacks of barrels of cooking oil piled high against the one wall, not far from the wikiup that had been the home of the Anglos. Strasser had drawn the brass-hilted cavalry saber, waving it over his head as he led the mad dash through the narrow entrance to the Box Canyon, past walls of rock that clamped in on the riders, less than a dozen feet across.
It's their fucking bill!
There were low huts, each with a small fire glowing in the half-light. The sect boss's nostrils brimmed with the smell of spicy cooking. Out of the corner of his eye, he spotted a pile of kegs of oil near the cliff. Everything was precisely as it would have been on any one of 10,000 other evenings at the Mescalero Rancheria, except that there was nobody there. No men relaxing by their homes, smoking a last pipe before eating their evening meals. No women bustling about with the cooking, scurrying to ready the children for their beds. No children running and leaping and screaming, eager to hold off the moment when their mothers would catch up with them. No horses feeding contentedly near the placid pool of water. Nobody. At the farthest end of the canyon floor, there was a walled depression, where Cuchillo Oro had told Ryan their ancestors used to keep and breed cattle. The old corral was 200 feet across, with high earth walls, backed by the cliffs above the mirrored lake.
Hiya!
Ryan was the last one inside, leaping from his horse and letting it go. If the plan worked, he'd be able to recover it later. If the plan didn't work, then he wouldn't be doing any more riding anyway. The three Apaches were at the earthworks, rifles at the ready, JB and Jack joining them, the boy walking with a pained stiffness.
How far are they?
On top of us. They haven't spotted the... Yeah, they have now.
Strasser wasn't the first one to notice. It was Sergeant McLaughlin, spurring on at the flank of the general, who realized there was something badly wrong.
Nobody! There's nobody! The bastards are gone! General, halt for God's sake!
The terror spread like a brush fire in dry summer. All the Sekhmen began to look around them, the blinding heat of the chase cooling, as they saw there was no exit at the far end of the canyon, just the biting jaws at the entrance. Some men reined in immediately, while others tugged their animals to left and right. One fell, then another. The flailing hooves kicked up a blinding dust that made it impossible for anyone to see what was happening.
Jake Calder! Find the one I had and bring him to me! They can't have left the canyon! Find them and kill them!
Ryan signaled from the corral.
pour on the lead!
Even firing blind, they couldn't fail to find targets. Men began to go down, yelling, clutching bullet wounds. More maimed animals fell, bringing down others.
Withdraw! Get the fuck out of here the way we came in! The way we came in!
Cuchillo Oro, with Christy, Doc, and Lori, had marshaled his forces well, keeping everyone out of sight as the trap was baited. The Apache women and children were already more than a mile away in a small canyon, guarded by a half dozen of the younger warriors. Every other man of the people who could carry a blaster was there, either climbing up the side trails to line the cliffs or spilling from hiding to turn the narrow entrance to Drowned Squaw Canyon into a maelstrom of instant death. It took several minutes for the dust to clear. In the confusion, several of the fires had been knocked over, setting light to three of the Wikiups. Smoke began to billow around, making it hard to see just what was happening. Above the reek of cordite, the canyon was brimming with the flavor of chili stew. Ryan held his own fire after the initial burst of shooting, wanting to conserve ammo as much as possible, readying himself to pick targets when they showed. But the clearing of the dust showed that he wasn't really needed. The old Remingtons and Winchesters of the Apaches had done sterling work. Already, better than half of the attacking cavalry patrol was dead or dying. Bodies lay sprawled everywhere, flung to the dirt. The sound of firing from the rim of the canyon and from down by the entrance was constant. The chemstorm seemed to be flooding closer, seamed with silvery purple slashes of lightning. But if there was any thunder roiling in the heart of the storm, it was drowned by the noise of the killing field. JB was at Ryan's elbow, peering cautiously over the top of the age-old wall of the corral. Jack was sitting, legs out in front of him, holding his arms wrapped around his chest.
We got him.
Looks like it. They won't break out. Entrance blocked with dead horses and men. The rest are running around like chickens with their heads gone.
Cooking oil's going up, Ryan.
Fire blast. Look at that bastard smoke coming up from it.
They can't get out. Unless they're like that guy who climbed the cliff above the lake.
Wings on feet. But that was legend.
Heard Doc once say something about, if the legend got bigger than the facts, then you stuck with the legend.
Yeah, well, I looked at that rock face, and nobody human could get up it, even with the hounds of hell at your back.
The smoke was becoming thicker. The shooting persisted, but now the volleys were becoming more scattered. The distinctive crack of the Springfield carbines came less frequently as the Sekmen were butchered by the jubilant Apaches. A couple of troopers, bareheaded, eyes wide in near panic, broke around the side of one of the burning wikiups and ran toward the old corral, each man holding a smoking Colt Navy blaster.
They're mine!
Ryan steadied himself, the Sig Sauer clamped in his right hand. The leading Sekmen was hit in the middle of his chest. The second man saw his friend go down and made a late, doomed effort to dodge sideways, ducking for cover. Both bullets hit him in the lower part of his face. By a ballistic freak, they completely tore away the man's bottom jaw, sending it flapping to the earth like a bizarre, crippled bird. The trooper tumbled backward, head thrown up. Ryan had seen some dreadful sights in his life, but even he winced at the horror. The dying man's tongue flopped down across his neck, writhing in his death agony. Exposed by the loss of the bottom jaw, it was a hideous length, gray-purple in color. It looked as if the Sekmen had swallowed a monstrous worm, but hadn't quite managed to get down the last 14 inches of its tail.
Fire blast.
Ryan leveled his blaster and fired a third round. The bullet punched through the cavalryman's forehead, putting him out of his suffering.
You're getting soft, friend. Waste of a perfectly good round of ammo.
It wasn't much of a firefight. Cuchillo Oro had taken the time bought by Ryan and by many Winters to place his warriors well, making sure they stayed in hiding, picking off the trapped pony soldiers where they scurried for shreds of cover. Within 15 minutes, it was virtually over and done. The smoke from the burning oil billowed everywhere, rank and thick, coiling all around the walls of the canyon. The sun had virtually disappeared, and the rancheria was in near darkness. Ryan walked cautiously from the old corral, moving along the flank of the pool of water. The body of one of the Sekmen lay partway in the lake, the back of his head blown away by a large caliber bullet. The smoke hung thickest at the box end of the canyon. Ryan tried to look up and see the top of the sheer rock face. For a frozen fragment of a second, a gust of wind from the speeding storm tore a window in the smoke. Ryan blinked his good eye. unable to believe what he thought he'd seen. JB caught the moment.
What is it?
I thought I saw.
What?
Nah, can't be. Looked like the ghost of old Wings on feet halfway up the cliff, hanging there like a spider. No, couldn't be. Trick of the shadows.
The armorer wiped his glasses on his sleeve, pushing back the brim of the fedora, and looking above the dark mirror of the pool.
Nah, can't see a damn thing up there.
I'm not surprised. Come on, let's go join the others and I'll pick up the pieces.
Hey, Shaman! Any sign of Strasser's body?
Can't be certain until dawn. But it looks like General Yellowhair managed to fool us all.
Shit. That's what I saw in the face of that bastard Cliff. That was fucking Strasser.
Might be hiding in one of the Wikia.
No, my people have searched every place.
So he's gone?
Only a demon of the Night Winds could have climbed that cliff to escape us.
That's Court Strasser, a man from the deepest circle of Hades.
The storm had passed them by, and the sun was long set, the floor of the rancheria sodden only with darkness. Fires burned once more, and once again there was the rich smell of cooking. The bodies had been dragged out beyond the neck of the canyon, to be moved farther away when morning came. And there were the prisoners. Despite the overwhelming firepower of the defenders, six of the Sekhmen had managed to hole up in a rocky corner, protected by an overhang, keeping a brisk fire against the Mescalero. But they finally ran out of ammo and were beaten to the earth. Sergeant McLaughlin had been in charge, and he had fought bravely with the saber, killing three warriors before they finally overcame him. Now he and the four survivors, one of his party having been killed in the final storming of their refuge, had been taken prisoner and were bound and tied to stakes in front of the chief's wikiup. In all, nine of the Mescalero had died during the great battle.
They died with much honor. They have saved us all. The people have won again. Nevermore shall Anglos threaten our way of living.
Until next time.
Ryan was bone weary. All he wanted to do was get to bed and rest after the suffering and tension of the past couple of days. He'd eaten his fill of chili stew and beans, enjoying the pleasure of being again with his five friends. Man Whose Eyes See More joined them for a half hour, and Ryan realized how much he'd come to like the wry humor and natural wisdom of the shaman.
Time for bed, folks.
He reached a hand down to help Christy to her feet. The others followed suit, Jack gently disentangling himself from the fond arms of Cuchillo's daughter. The boy's hair was clean and neatly brushed back off the high white forehead. Jack caught Ryan's eye, beckoning him to the far side of the fire.
What is it, Jack?
Just it. Steps lightly moon and fodder. Kind of want to come along.
I know that.
Yeah, he wants to talk to you.
Now?
Yeah.
All right, Jack. Listen, one other thing I gotta say.
If it stinks, then don't.
Okay. It was, but I won't. But thanks all the same.
Shit, you done same. Any of us would. That's why so close.
Would you like Kachiu and the girl to join us, Jack?
He's a brave fighter. And she's... well, she's...
The shaman silently joined them.
I see eyes of wolf makes eyes of sheep.
The boy wants advice.
The shaman smiled, eyes enigmatic behind the inevitable sunglasses.
He wishes to see tomorrow, and many more tomorrows. Every man wishes that at some time in his life. It becomes harder to see yesterday as you grow older, Jack.
Me and
the girl, Jack? It all comes to wanting and being able. A man could stand on top of those cliffs and want to fly safely to the earth. It's a good idea, and would be wonderful if he was able to do it. But to leap because you want is not always the best idea.
Then you think I shouldn't?
I do not tell you, Jack. You must decide. Perhaps time will help you.
Don't have a lot of time. Guess we'll be moving on tomorrow or the day after. Our work's done.
Like the wind, I know. There are times when to move on is much to be desired.
Jack says Kachiora wants to talk with me about joining us.
He does?
Do us a favor, Man Whose Eyes See More. Tell him I'm totally wasted. I'll speak to him in the morning.
I'll tell him, Ryan. And sleep in peace, my friend.
The horrible screaming woke Ryan. He opened his eye, looking first at the luminous wrist chron. It was a few minutes before 1 in the morning. Outside the Wikiup, he could see that the fires must have been built up. There was the orange brightness of soaring flames and skipping shadows moving past.
Gaia, what's going on?
Sounds like some chilling.
Upon my